The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And smart. You can tell he knows kind of where to sit in zones. Yeah. The quarterback scrambles. He knows where to go.
Because, I mean, you got to be smart to play quarterback. Well, look at this desk.
Yeah.
Look at these two guys.
A quarter, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Two smart guys that used to play quarterback. We weren't smart enough to keep playing quarterback, though. We're stupid enough to host podcasts. That's what we do. We talk in front of a mic. I don't know. There is a like a line of being too smart for your own good playing quarterback.
Totally.
Now, it seems to be less, I don't know why now, than maybe when we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's like the smart guys seem to be able to process it and be smart.
Right.
But I do feel like, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, if my take is wrong here, because this is a take. It's not like I've done real research here.
Okay.
But I do feel like as I was growing up, there was like, I talked to my dad's coaches and friend, and like, if you were too smart at quarterback, they were literally like, well, he's like too smart. He's asking too many questions. He's reading too deep into this subject.
Yeah.
Right. He's a little too analytical. Like, you're too good for your, you're too smart for your own good here. You know, where it's just like they question everything. And I was with a few quarterbacks like that in my career.
Yeah.
And I had a head coach that was like, you're too smart for your own good. Stop asking so many fucking questions.
Right.
I'm not going to say who it was, but there was really that. But it doesn't seem to be an issue anymore.
Yeah.
And then with Eli Mannings of the world and all these other guys have great, really smart, you know, Wonderlic scorers.
Yeah.
It seems like that's a myth now. And
I would
you
say
you should be smart.
And again,
really
this
smart.
Is just a reaction take to what you just said. But it's wonderful to be super smart on the front end, ask the right questions, grasp all this terminology and all these concepts. But at some point in the moment, you got to turn that off. And it's not about being smart. Like, get out of your own way and just have the right reactions.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's where people say, oh, he's too smart to play.
Right.
If he's thinking about it in the moments and trying to analyze
that's the problem.
Then
you're
can't play.
You're right. There's the guys that I was with that were like that. There was two, and it was just like, wait, dude, the guy's wide open down the middle. I know he's a second read, but just fucking throw it to him. He's open. Forget it. I know coach said you had to go here first, but you saw it. Just go there.
Right.
And I guess, and that's what makes like Peyton Manning and Brady who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are the smart guy, like you're talking about before, but then they have like the instincts and the natural feel for the game to be like, okay, I'm not a robot. Like, you know, coach said I'm supposed to do this, but I just noticed this, and I'm going to throw it there.
Right.
And, so you're right. Okay, that was a good talk.
I had the same Wonderlic score.
Don't be too smart.
Same Wonderlic as Dan Marino.
Did you really?
Release was not quite the same.
Not quite the same. Yeah, just a bit off. So, wait, Wonderlic, Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a pretty good feel.
I think it was it Marino
mid-20s,
or Elway?
Late 20s?
It was I forget if it was Marino or Elway. It was very average.
It was very – I think it
very
was Marino.
Average.
Elway was pretty up there, I believe. Elway was up there.
Okay.
I mean, Elway
whichever one of those two dudes was kind of middle of the pack there.
I think Marino was considered middle of the pack, which is where I was as well.
Okay.
I mean, I was a middle of the pack guy.
We should Wonderlic it now.
I would love to. It's actually a fun test.
Can you get it?
I mean, I'm sure we can. I mean, all these agents are getting it.
I remember taking it, but I don't remember like what the questions were about or anything.
It's just like it's 60 questions progressively get harder, 1 through 60, so they just keep getting harder.
Mm.
I took the test twice. I know I've told it on here before.
Why'd you get it twice?
Once illegally. A scout, my senior year in college, right?
Yeah.
Just when
he smuggled you the Wonderlic?
He went, he's like, hey, when practice is over today. He's an old scout that was kind of famous around the league.
Yeah.
I've told people in the NFL about this, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's all about it. He would do that, that's for sure. Hey, he came over to me as I was getting dressed for practice, right, where scouts weren't even allowed to be in the locker room.
No.
But he was one of these guys that was like, eh, fuck it, I'll bend the rule here. And he came over to me, and I'm getting dressed. Hey, Sims, after practice, just come see me in this room over here. I'll be in there. Just 5-10 minutes. All I need you for.
That's so
okay,
shady.
Cool. I know, but you know, he was around a lot, and I liked him, and he talked ball. So yeah, okay, cool, sure. But then I went in there, and he goes, "Here, I just want you to take this." And it was the Wonderlic, you know. And I was probably had about a month left in college football season.
Yeah.
And I took it. I did pretty good on it. I think I got a 27 on that one.
Yeah.
But then when I went to the combine, I got, and Pete could probably look it up, I think I got a 24 or maybe a 23.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. But it was all because I didn't know a few of the vocabulary ones. Like the one I took at school, I just got lucky in the vocab questions. We were like, I know these ones.
Yeah.
And I remember I got 22. Shit. Fuck 22. You, Pete. You're supposed to say 23 or 24. but I got into the NFL. I remember going, damn, like some of the vocab words that were in the middle.
Yeah.
I just didn't have the feel for them. And that was the difference.
I don't remember. I wish I did remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Maybe we should do that like dead time, okay, early June. We'll take a Wonderlic.
I remember the Giants had me take a 400 question, 400 question.
No doubt.
And I got the sweet windbreaker for it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. I made up for it.
Yeah.
I was so pissed taking the Giant test.
Awful.
I was so pissed. I did it at the Senior Bowl, and I was literally like, I remember, you know, college football ends, go home for a few days, train, go to the Senior Bowl. I'm practicing all this. It's been a crazy busy time, and the Giants go in the room here and take this test.
And I'm going, okay, sure. Question test.
Okay, it's an hour and 45 minutes later. Yeah. I'm still here taking this test.
Yeah.
And I was motherfucking the Giants going, if there's one fucking team in football that knows me, I've been around them though my whole life. I was in the locker room at 3.
Yeah.
I know all of you people that just gave me the test. And like I think with the Giants test, I think I didn't answer like the last 40 questions.
Really?
I think I just said
you should have been like just wrote like last name Sims, dad, 22-25 Super Bowl. That's it.
Suck
I'm
it.
Done.
You know me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime I had a physical problem, I came to the locker room. You know everything about me. Come on.
I heard we're talking O-line today.
Yeah. You
Is
know
that right?
It. Yeah. Yeah. Good subject.
I
kind of
sidetracked
change.
It. There.
Yeah. That's
sorry.
All right. Good. Yeah. O-lines and quarterbacks and Wonderlics. Yeah.
Before we get to your top five, which I think is top six.
Yeah.
Plus some honorable mention dudes
here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before
good
we
class.
Do that, I know you like it.
Yeah.
A lot of first-round picks there. I think we have some traffic up top, as we like to say. I sensed when we were talking quarterbacks a little while ago, I'm like, I think he likes Malik Willis a little
bit more
than he has him ranked.
You said it.
So go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback rankings, listen, you know me. I'm not one that usually changes my rankings around a whole lot.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, and I try not to because I put all my – I mean, I go hard on my evaluations. I don't go like, oh, let me watch a little and then I'll come back to it a few weeks later and see if I change. I try to go all in all at once, and that's what I do. But, yes, if I had to make a switch right now, I'm going to make leave Corral at one. I think Corral is still the only guy to me that's worthy of a top half of the first round pick. But Malik Willis number two and Kenny Pickett number three. I would like to make that change as far as Willis was my three, Pickett was my two. Let's flip those around.
What was the deciding factor there?
You know, I think really what I came down to is as the more and more I just thought about it, and I'm not even going to lie, my dad led me down this road a little bit. My dad reads my notes, right? He likes to look at it and stuff. And, hey, send me a picture of these notes. So I do it. And he was kind of looking at it. He made a comment to me about 2 weeks ago. He's just like, you mean, I'm reading your notes. Everything you say, like, you think Malik Willis is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You just made Pickett number two because you think he's better right now.
Yeah.
And he goes, but you're not drafting a quarterback for who's better right now. And I said, you're exactly right. He goes, you'd made Josh Allen your number one quarterback because you thought he was going to be the best quarterback in the league the second and third year, or one of those guys that by that time. And that's when I went, yeah, you're right, Dad. You're totally right. As much as I see there's the rawness factor with Willis and there's some things that I need to get cleaned up, yeah, I do believe that. And so that's where I changed it. And, yes, I'm going to go with a little bit more of that wow factor, high-end talent. Yes, there's raw and
there
some things to work on over the guy where I go, we've kind of reached the ceiling. And he's good, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to be disrespectful, but just doesn't wow me a whole lot like I told you during that day.
I think reevaluating doesn't mean you're admitting defeat. It just said you're open to change, and that's just a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
So,
well, I
well
try
done.
To try to listen to myself and
your
think
dad.
About it. Right, and my dad, I do. I trust my dad. And, you know, I mean, you know me enough, well enough to know that I think and talk about this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So as sometimes, you know, again, it's raw, you just studied it, whatever else, you give it a little time to digest, you start to think of other little points that, oh, wait, I should have, this makes sense. And you start to juggle around. Wide receiver is probably another position I need to look at a little bit.
Okay.
I would tell you that's probably the other one I'm looking at to where I go, Might need to readjust a little there, but all in all, for the most part, I feel good everywhere else.
We'll save that one for a later podcast.
Right.
Okay, offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Thinking about you evaluating the offensive line, like the other positions that we've talked about, quarterbacks, skill positions. I mean, these are all things pretty near and dear to what you're used to watching.
Right.
How difficult is it to sit down and grind out tape and come up with a list for centers, guards, and tackles?
Well, it's fun. I like watching O-line stuff. I do. You know, not that I'm going to sit here and tell you I'm an expert and I'm Dante Scart. I'm not Scarnecchia or one of the great O-line coaches, Bill Callahan, and with the Cleveland Browns or anything like that.
Did you spend time in New England evaluating these guys?
I mean, I didn't. I got to be around Scarnecchia a lot when we did workouts and things and saw how he kind of put them through certain things.
That helps.
I certainly learned and listened to traits that he found very valuable for all line, especially the tackle position, because at that time too we had Nate Solder and Sebastian Vollmer up there who were big, you know, Eastern European blockhead types that, you know, just whatever coach told them to do, they were going to do. Yes, sir. That was it. So, yeah, I learned a lot from that and I did learn some O-line play up there. I did. I had to draw his pictures up a lot of the times. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, I've been around some good ones. Not that I'm perfect here, but I feel like I certainly can spot a talented one. And I feel like I at least know technique to a degree. I know there's nuances that I'm not as up on as some of the other great people, evaluators, O-line in the NFL. But know enough basics to go, this is good, this is bad, and this will work in the NFL.
Of all the positions that you evaluate for the NFL draft, which is every position on the field, is this the hardest one?
It's the hardest because I think when you get towards the top, there's more little nuances like we're discussing a little that have to be taken into account. You know, as far as, you know, the arm length, the competition, what he exactly is asked to be doing schematic-wise. And then you have to get into, you know, some little different things as far as, ooh, hip tightness and, you know, can he squat his ass and get his ass down, the base, the punch, the bucket steps.
Yeah.
You know, is he taking the right steps when he's pulling? Does he get his body kind of cheated in the right way? So those are the little things I think that, like, you know, maybe separated that are very finite. To separate it at times that can be hard, but I like I said, I kind of enjoy doing it. It's fun turning on big fuckers and just saying, let's watch this fucking guy kill people.
It was fun all those years when I was doing this with Mayock. At least once or twice a year he would call somebody a heavy-legged waist bender. Springtime again.
Heavy-legged waist bender, I mean, you know, big power underneath the underneath the body, and then, you know, it's pliable, can be in awkward positions, can get low as he's pulling around the edge as a pulling guard and get the bend going to get ready for that second level wrap around on the linebacker. I mean, there's a lot of cool nuanced phrases with O-linemen.
And there is a lot more athleticism. There's a lot more to it than size and toughness than I think people realize.
Yes.
Okay, putting this class in perspective a little more, the offensive linemen, before we get to your top five, let's take a peek at what you had last year. This time last year for the big guys up front, and how do you think this class compares?
I think overall the class itself compared to last year is better. I do. You know, that would be the first thing I would say. We got a little bit of everything, right? Here, if you're watching on YouTube, this is a list of O-linemen drafted in the top 10 over the last six drafts. For the most part, I mean, they worked out pretty well, except for the 2020 guys, I would say there.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas and Jedrick Wills. You know, Wills has been good. I don't know if it's been 10-pick good. Andrew Thomas has been disappointment for the Giants to this point. Mm-hmm. Everybody else there has kind of lived up to their billing.
There's some either good or really good picks.
Exactly
on that list.
Right. I mean, Quentin Nelson's going to the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah.
Right? McGlinchey's been really good for
nice
the 49ers.
Player.
He got hurt last year. Ronnie Stanley's the best left tackle in football before he got hurt.
Yep.
Jack Conklin, it didn't kick ass in Tennessee. But it got real good, and then it got real good in Cleveland, so where he's very worthy of that. And let's see where Penei Sewell goes, you know, from here.
Thomas was better last year.
Yeah, Thomas was better last year, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I would think, you know, again, the Giants are, you know, they might be in the market for the O-line. We'll see where it goes, but he's going to be starting on their O-line for sure at one of the tackle positions.
We've hit Wunderlich, heavy-legged waistbenders, athleticism, maulers, like, we're all set up and ready for top five now, right?
Yeah, we're all ready.
Okay.
And like you said, it's top six.
It's
top
six.
And just a overall thing here, I mean, very good group, especially the top end guys, I think there's probably, I think you legitimately can have eight O linemen drafted in the first round.
Wow,
definitely.
You're talking tackle, guard,
definitely.
Center.
Yeah, the honorable mentions I'm going to name after them. Two of them are first round talents for sure, and I would think they're going to go in the first round. These six to me, I think are pretty special. I like to do the top five, but there was a guard here and the guy we're going to talk about in a second that I just think's too fucking good that I have to leave him on. I got to put him on the list here.
Okay,
he's a phenomenal football player, but all these guys are going in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, all six are going in the first round, and I think the two we name after will too as well.
Maybe eight. Yeah. Makes me wonder what that means for the fact that we're wondering about if two or three quarterbacks would go.
That's what I mean. The more and more I look at this, I have a pretty good feel for the draft right now.
Yeah.
Linebacker's the only thing I'm not complete on. The one thing I know, you hear people say there's no superstars in this draft. Okay, I would agree with that. Fine, there's no Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, or whatever, that kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
I get it. A lot of really good, though. Like, whoa, top 20 picks where you go, this guy's going to be a multiple Pro Bowl player and a starter for 8 to 10 years, right? And then there's a ton of, I like, 60-plus guys that I wrote 20 through 45 on in the draft. I mean, 20 through 45. Okay, that's 60 guys. We're in the third round here.
Yeah.
So I think that speaks to the depth of the draft. But the thing I was getting to about your quarterback conversation there is, I do think at every position – even this one here we're going to hit on, there's two or three guys that stand alone at the position. And there is a drop-off. Not to say those guys at the drop-off aren't good, but these three guys are a clear cut above the rest.
Okay.
And I think that's going to make the top 15 picks very valuable in a year where you look at the quarterbacks and, yes, it's not really a killer year. I wouldn't take... like you've heard me say, Corral's the only one I would even think about taking in the first half of the round. The other guys, I would not. Willis, probably right after that, and Pickett a little down the line. But I think it's going to make those top 15 picks valuable because teams are going to look at it and go, wait, we need a tackle. We feel like there's only two or three that are really elite that we know like right now. Oh, we need a D-tackle. We need a D-tackle. We only feel like there's two, and then it's a drop-off. So I think that's going to make it a little bit more valuable and a little different than maybe years past.
All right, one of the many signs we're going to have here in the next hour or so of how much you like this offensive line class is the fact that the top five, as we've mentioned, is actually a top six.
Yeah.
Let's get started here with six.
Yeah, number six, Kenyon Green from Texas A&M. He's the guy that, really, we're going to have another guard in front of him here in a second. But first off, huge body, heavy-legged waist bender. How do you like that, Paulie, right off the bat?
Yeah, if it fits.
Really, it is. It's a bad thing.
Mike didn't like it.
But he didn't like it. Yeah,
if you want
to
say it's a good thing,
No.
I'm down with that.
He's not heavy-legged. This is a really good athlete.
Guard.
Okay, but he's got power. Yes, that's why I go like heavy-legged that way. He can drive people, root people out of the ground that way. All right. Now it's a body that's maybe a hair pear-shaped, but a huge body, long arms. Not the greatest upper body strength in the world. If there was one thing I would say was probably the negative of him in that. And the reason I made him the second guard behind the guy we're going to get to in a second, the stalemates, things like that, right? You're in the wrestling, like this guy, oh, man, we both hit each other hard. Now we're trying to, he could fall off at times. He might every now and then lose that, not want to say lose that battle, but not win that battle or continue to stalemate because he would fall off. But as far as all the athletic stuff is concerned, I mean, the guy is phenomenal. I mean, anything, really. Pulling, straight ahead explosion, off the ball, getting to the second level. Now, the reason he's six is there's a little bit of a rawness to him. He's not perfect technically all the time. He will take a wrong step every now and then or maybe take a wrong angle right up to the second level. He talked about maybe the leg drive stops on contact every now and then. He might fall off. But it's being, very picky here. I'm holding it to a first-round standard. I was amazed by the player, let alone the guy has legit potential to be tackle in the NFL.
That was what I wanted to bring
he
up.
He does.
Versatility is crazy here.
Yes.
Okay, 13 starts at right guard in 2019.
Right.
10 starts at left guard, 2020. Last year, 7 at left guard, 2 at right tackle, 1 at left tackle. I mean, that's...
It's the good and the bad.
On one hand, it's great to have versatility. Exactly. On the other, it's like, well, if he was awesome at one, why didn't they just leave him?
Well, because he was awesome at one, but I think he was also the only guy that sometimes where they go, well, we got a guy that's a little bit better to fill in the guard behind you, and we're going to make you the guy that has to do the toughest thing and go to left tackle or right tackle. What'd you say there, Pete?
They had injuries.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it was all injury stuff. So they're just trying to get their guy on the field. So that's where the film can be a little cloudy. You have to make sure you really watch him at guard. You know, tackle, yeah, there's going to be a few negative plays here and there. Now, there is. But I don't think it's like a thing where you look at him at tackle and go, oh, whoa, he can't do that.
Yeah.
I just go, no, if you let him stay there and let him play and kind of get ready, used to the nuances, he could be a big-time left tackle. But I think for sure he's a big-time guard. That's for sure. You know, the pop off the ball, the way he can move people that way, you know, he's very pliable. You know, the guy we're going to talk to in a minute's a little bit more rocked up and your stiff guard. This guy's got a little bit more of, a little bit more of a soft body. It might be a little more center gravity related, you know, with just a little bit of a belly and stuff, but not sloppy. I don't want to say that. Just I'm trying to paint a picture for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Always keeps a good base. You know, so everything you looked at athletically, you just went, oh, check it off the box. Oh, here's NFL defensive tackles. He holds his own and then some against them. So he was a really good football player. And like I said, the issues I had were just the position movement and a few little, like, just easy coachable fixes that I would look at to go, these aren't worries. This is just somebody's going to get on his ass and coach him a little.
Thinking about his athleticism, and I know what you see on tape doesn't always mean, okay, it's going to show up at the combine. But go ahead and take here his combine measurements and kind of how he compared with a lot of the others. And basically, he had a very below average combine workout, which doesn't mean he's not a great football player.
Right.
But when you're thinking about taking somebody in the first round, does this concern you when you look at him compared to other people at his position at the combine? He was below average.
No, it doesn't really. It doesn't. You know, I mean, again, the 5.24, the 40, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's slow. I get it.
How much does that really matter
but
for a guard?
It doesn't. You know, this is a good conversation because we were going to get into this when we get down to the tackle later a little bit too. But, like, yeah, tell me how that 5'3 for Orlando Brown's working out.
Yeah,
that's
right?
One of the best left tackles in football.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck with that
but
shit?
But the other areas that measure athleticism are kind of
down
too.
Yeah, they're just okay. They're okay. You're right. You know, again, but, like, when I watch them pop off the ball, there's great explosion. You know, I'm not necessarily worried about his long speed. You see him pull around the edge or even get out in screens. I never at once went, man, he's just less of an athlete than I was expecting. You know, this is one where you turn on the film and then you go back and look at the profile a little bit and you go, wait, really? Are these his numbers? That's kind of surprising because it just nothing shows of that. Nothing. So, you know, I don't know what the story is there, but hands down, NFL longtime starting guard, like I said, with a little bit of the versatility to move around if need be. And as I told you, I just, you know, he's dominant at guard at times. I mean, not at times. He's dominant. He shows true dominance there. And I think between that, the get off, the base always being good, you know, I looked at him and just said, this is a first-round guard for sure. There's zero physical concerns with the player. The negative is just a little of the coaching and the technique like we talked about and all the changes. But he has a very high ceiling, and you know I don't think it's a very low floor either to go along with it. It's a really good football player.
I think he did a nice job of grouping together positions here because as we move to number five, we keep the guard thoughts coming here.
Yeah, number five, we're going to go with Zion Johnson from Boston College, who's a hell of a football player. Now, like here, to compare him with Kenyon Green, I don't think he's as athletic as Kenyon Green.
Hmm.
I don't. Now, watching the film, I went, no, Kenyon Green's clearly the better athlete.
You're a big traits guy, so what makes him higher rated?
Well, you know, this guy, like, you don't ever see him really do anything wrong. I mean, that's the big thing. So the other guy's a little bit all of potential, and like I talked about, there's a few raw elements in here. With this guy, too, you know, again, the film is awesome, and we're still talking about a very powerful, strong guy here and a pretty good athlete to go with it. A little stiffer than Kenyon Green, who we were just talking about. But as far as, like, you know, pure power, getting off the ball, dominating blockers, I mean, letting no one even move him in pass protection. You know, always kind of being in the right positions body-wise, other than his stance. He has a weird stance.
Huh.
He's got that, you know, kind of got that stance of, like, I can't remember who it was back in the old day, where, like, the knee kind of collapses in on one side a little bit.
Was Randall that McDaniel.
Is that Randall McDaniel? Yeah, is that who it was? I know. I was going to say like Dermoni Dawson at first, but I think you're right. It was Randall McDaniel.
Yeah.
So he kind of has weird that weird stance
before he mauled everybody.
That's kind of what this is. It's the only thing you question on this kid is the stance.
Yeah.
He's very instinctive. You know, Boston College, of course, they're very well coached up there, but you know, always the right angles to the second level. But no, not as impressive in space as Kenyon Green, in my opinion. But I think overall, the negative plays are less than, of course, he played guard the whole time, and he is truly like day one, you're going to be able to throw him in and start at guard right away.
We've got the measurables from the combine as well with him, and it looks much, much better. I mean, just the athleticism, he was he was terrific at the combine. And he also has the versatility as well, Chris. I mean, 11 starts right tackle, 7 left guard, 11 left tackle, 11 left guard. I mean, he was all over the place.
Yeah, I know. He can do it all. There's nothing you're going to look at. Again, this is another guy that I think if you had injuries on your NFL offensive line, you went, man, we got to play him a tackle, he could probably do it. He can. But he's made to be a guard. He is. He's got the guard build, the power. You know, he's 34-inch long arms, but to me, the arms, I don't know, they don't pop off on film. And, you know, again, I'll stay one more time. I thought the other kid was a better athlete. When I first started watching this kid, I went, he's a mauler, you know. He's got the look of a good athlete, but there's a little stiffness to his game. But as I went on with the film, one of the things I wrote down is the more I watch, the more I kind of like the athlete. I do. You know, straight line, he's awesome. Pulling, awesome. You know, space adjustments, right? This is where I would say Kenyon Green had a little bit better ability. Not that he was always did it better, because he might have not had the right technique at times. But when I say space adjustments, right, like, you know, think about guard center, we're both blocking the nose tackle, and now I gotta go to the second level and cut off the Will linebacker or do something like that. You know, guys could make a move on him at the second level every now and then. Oh, I missed him, and then he got by me and went through the A-gap, right? Those were some of the negatives is where I meant the stiffness. Where Kenyon Green was a little more pliable and had been like, oh, wait, you faked me out, but I still can get back over there and knock you out of the way to where you can't get in the play, if that makes sense. I hope I'm painting the picture the right way there. But, yeah, I mean.
I do like the comparisons.
Yeah.
I kind of like to.
Doesn't ever lose a battle, this dude.
Yeah.
The stalemates is the other reason I would say I would go with this guy. Because the stalemates ended up always going in his favor.
Yeah. Because
he had enough power, kept the legs going, and his arms, you can even see it on film, his arms are just more developed and have a more strong look to them to where he could kind of win those wrestling matches more times than not.
Sum it up kind of in one question, one situation here. Let's say a team is taking a guard. We're taking a guard in the 20s with our first pick.
Right.
Love both these guys.
Yeah.
Chris, what's the biggest difference between them?
I just think I'm going to go with – the biggest thing I'm going to go with is one is totally ready and I have no questions about. The other one is maybe a higher-end athlete, but not so much to where I go, wait, there's a few things in the technique that I got to, you know – that bother me, right? So he's not such a great athlete that the technique issues, you go, oh, well, I'm not worried about that. So that's where I think I got to put Zion Johnson ahead of him that way. All right, he's a little lesser of an athlete, but I think in all other areas, he's a better football player.
Okay.
I guess that's where I'm going with that, that makes sense.
How high would you expect him to go?
20 to 32, that's kind of where I wrote, right in that range, somewhere in there. I mean, the one thing with – you know, the pass protection, I think, was the thing I was very impressed with. I really was. Legs were always underneath him at a good anchor. You know, very good punch and hand usage, which you don't always see from guards in the, you know, coming out of college. But, like, doesn't let tackles get into his body and get momentum, right? He kind of meets them and punches and stuns them right away. So now, oh, no, you big fucker, you're not going to get momentum and then run me over. I'm going to stop the momentum, and then we're just going to be in a stalemate fight right here. And like I said, he's very good in that.
PFF summed it up pretty well. He's not perfect, but he has no glaring weakness on tape.
That's kind of what it is. Exactly right. You know, he's not perfect, but he's damn good. He is. And there's no question that – you know, he's a first-round guard and a starting guard really right away, day one. I like both of these guys a lot. Like I said, Zion Johnson, I think, is just the film is cleaner, and he's ready to go right now.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, enough of these guards, although it was clear to see that you think that they both belong there in that back part of the first round. Let's get into the tackles.
Yeah.
The money position up front here for the first
position.
Round. SEC is our first stop here.
Yeah, Charles Cross, Mississippi State. That's where I'm going to go here. Now, you know, I know a lot of people. He's part of the big three as far as the tackle position is concerned, right? Really good specimen. You know, has a body you look at right away. And you just go, oh, man, he looks like an NFL left tackle. All right? He's got arms long as hell. So all the things you like for a tackle are perfect. Is he perfect? No, he's not. Is he as good as the other two tackles in the draft that we're going to talk about in a little while? No, he's not. You know, does he have the potential to be as good as they do? Yeah, he probably does. But it's not one where I can just throw him up there in their class quite yet.
What's your biggest concern that kind of keeps him out of that group of the top two?
One, you know, can play a little high, all right? That was the one thing that I did not love. And then, you know, he's a little like, I want to get to the tightness in his hips to really be in a strong athletic position and have your base underneath you. That's what I mean, where, you know, he at times can just seems too upright. And there are moments of when he can get pushed back or pushed around, right? And, you know, I'm big on base. You know, of course, that's a huge thing. You know, again, when Cam Jordan puts his hand on the ground and just goes, I'm going to that spot as fast as I can go, well, then you better have some special base to stop that guy and put your foot in the ground and have an anchor to stop him. And that's always my concern with these type of guys. So that's my issue with him. He is the rawest of these tackles. Great feet, awesome in space, okay? But, yes, can play, like, way too high, all right? That's the first thing that comes together. Can have moments in pass protection where, you know, again, it can be less than because the mechanics aren't good. The feet can get close together to where you're like, well, you should never be in a position where your feet are like more narrow than your shoulders at tackle.
Right.
You're going to get pushed over. So those are things that you looked at. You know, he has things to clean up, but all the physical tools and ability to be big time. But, yes, his film, to me, was not on the level of the other two tackles we're going to talk about here in a little bit.
Okay, we oftentimes talk about hands as it relates to quarterbacks. Yeah. 10 and three quarters, 92nd percentile. This description of his hands, I want to hear what you think about this. Big, strong, and sticky. Does that fit, and what does it mean?
Yeah, well, I think what they mean by, like, sticky is that, like, when he gets his hands on you, they kind of stick on there, right? Is that what they're meaning by that, like, overall?
But he's not holding.
I didn't come away looking at it as holding. Yeah. I didn't see, like, holding being an issue with him overall.
Yeah.
Now, what's an issue with him is how bland their offense is.
Mm.
It's, you know, one protection all the time. It's, of course, they throw the ball every play. They only run one run play. He's going to be clueless in the run game. He's going to be clueless. So he's very basic as far as that stuff is concerned.
And he only started 2 years.
That's what I mean. So he could be a guy where you draft him, and I don't think it's a guarantee he's, like, starting for you in year one. I don't think there's a guarantee.
If you take a tackle in year one, aren't you most of the time thinking he's going to start on one
side
or the other?
Yeah, I mean, you would like that to be. Now, he has, like, big-time, you know, starting potential to where he's good enough to where you take him and, okay, yeah, you hope he starts year one, but if he has to be your sixth lineman or whatever and then you get him in the next year, so what? But, yeah, this is an athlete who needs to play and needs to be coached more. That's really the biggest thing that I came away with more than anything else. You heard me about the pad level, you know, doesn't have the same pop and physicality and get off and to be able to drive people off the ball like the two tackles we'll talk about or even like the two guards we just talked about. He's not quite at their level in that department. So, you know, those are the things I would look at more than anything. And then you heard me say, you know, the mechanics, the anchor were not on the level, especially of the top two pass protectors in the draft, in my opinion.
I feel like in this class, no matter the position we're talking, we've hit a lot of 40 times. They're like, boy, these are fast this year.
Right.
I always find it interesting. I don't know if it's meaningful or significant. Just interesting when someone who's 6'5", 310, like Charles Cross, comes down underneath the five. So he runs a 4.95, 94th percentile at the combine. Interesting observation, but does it matter at all?
No, that's what I mean. It doesn't matter. To me, it's an overblown thing again. It's just gotten the scouting world All right. If he ran a 5.2,
which
or
we
a 5.3,
talked about with the guard, who like you said didn't matter, I was wondering on the other end
it
if it's faster than it should be.
If it's like it's not that it's faster than it should be. He looks like he would run that. He is an exceptional athlete.
Does it indicate anything though about how he can play tackle?
Not really. Not really. I mean, to me, I would be concerned if I went, okay, he ran 5.3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned on a film and go, whoa, he's fucking sluggish off the start, off the ball. It's sluggish. Whoa, whoo. All right. And then I start to go, man, anything he does laterally, moving his feet side to side, all that, damn, it's slow as shit. Mm-hmm. I'd go, okay, he's slow. He's a shitty athlete. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know? But there's also the Orlando Brown thing to go, oh, wait, okay, he ran 5.79 at the combine. Who gives a shit? Nobody ever turned the corner on him against Oklahoma. Nobody ever pushed him back. But we decided the last 35 yards of a 40-yard race that an offensive tackle never has to run all of a sudden mattered.
Yeah.
And that's to me where just like, yeah, I don't, you know, it's a good thing to have, but it's
sure.
not, it's a, not a, not a starter or a finisher for me either way.
Right.
I guess is what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. Okay. I think the main things I take away of this is someone who just walks in and wants to learn about him. Of the three offensive tackles, he's I don't want to say significantly, but it sounds
like... He's clearly
like,
three for me.
Yeah,
clearly.
It's not like he's 2A.
No.
To whatever
exactly
your top
right.
two are.
No.
So he's a little bit distant back there, and he might be a little bit of a project in year one, too.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be like, if you told me, oh, he's not starting at the end of training camp.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have... He's the sixth guy. He's going to... Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I'm not shocked by that.
Yeah.
I understand that. You know, like you said, he hasn't played a lot. He came from a school that doesn't do a lot. They throw the ball every play in the shotgun. It's the same pass protection every play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a little there to it. But you're getting a guy that does have the potential to be, like, all pro. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing. You know, there's no physical limitations or weakness to the player overall. You just got to fix some of those things and give it a little time. But, yes, to your point, I wrote, the other two tackles are top five-ish, top eight-ish picks.
Mm.
This guy to me is 18 to 32. That's where now he'll probably be overdrafted because I think because of the measurables and what we're talking about here. But to me, that's yeah, he's in the second half of the first round for me.
We're going to hit those two tackles here in a moment. Let's take a break from them. We get to number three. We go back inside.
Yeah, number three, we are going back inside into one of the fun watches, and we're going to Baldy's home school, baby.
Very close to my hometown,
yeah,
too.
Is that very close to your hometown? Is that right? Tyler Linderbaum,
yep.
Center from Iowa.
There you go.
Paul's been excited for me to watch him for 2 months now, and I watched him, and I understand why. Fucking guy is good.
From Solon, Iowa, about 10 or 15 minutes from Iowa City, where the university is.
Okay,
so, yeah,
all right.
Quite familiar with the family, with the town, the whole thing. Heard all about him forever. Or we had him in the All-Star game in San Antonio,
Right.
He looked really good there, and he's had an awesome career at Iowa. A lot of talk about, okay, do you take a center who's undersized in the first round? So you can just pick it up and take it from there.
No, I would. I'd have no problem with taking a center undersized in the first round. I don't. I mean, you know, one... Again, it's I never like to like put, you know, limits on what we're talking about. I'd never take a tackle who runs slower than 5.2.
Right.
Oh yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that now? Oh, I'd never take one under 5.2. Well, that's wrong.
Right.
You should adjust your thought there.
Yeah.
There's more that goes into that. Yeah, he's 290. I mean, again, I'm almost gonna just read it. I you know, first I went, whoa, athletic looking old lineman. Looks like Jason Kelce type of body. But maybe even a hair smaller than Kelce. Whoa, you could see how athletic the guy is right away. Second level, reach blocks. I mean, none of this is going to be an issue. Anything, speed, twitch, explosive, great. Hips, insane. I mean, pulling, you know, speed puller, adjusting on the fly, being in a weird position, getting low, getting out of it, going to another guy. It's all crazy. But, like, here, you know, here he is, and now I'm probably about 50 plays in, and I go... Big thing I got to figure out, because I still hadn't seen anything to say no to it, is can this guy block the Vita Veas of the world?
What do you think?
The Akeem Hicks of the world.
Yeah.
Right? That was my big thing. Now,
is there any tape of a giant nose tackle?
Not really. No. You know, and again, even as awesome as the Big Ten is, like we had this little talk right before the pod today. It ain't the SEC.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'll say. I mean, again, the Big Ten's great. But the SEC's got, like, a professional defensive tackle on every team.
Mm.
And there's teams in the Big Ten that don't have that all the time.
Yeah.
But either way, my summation of that would be that, no, he's not going to have issues with that. First off, The film is impeccable. I mean, it's really impeccable. Okay, he has 290. I mean, I know he's the Big Ten. He's playing against some NFL defensive tackles next year or whatever. I know there's not a lot of them in this draft. No, but he never loses a play.
Yeah.
I mean, the negative plays for him, Paul, are just like, oh, he double-teamed with the guard and went up to the next level, and he just didn't crush the linebacker. The linebacker kind of squeaked by him because he took somewhat of a wrong angle or somebody bumped him as he was getting up there, and he just knocked him off balance. Like, it's never like, oh, he fucked that play up for the team. Oh, he got overpowered again. Oh, he didn't move his feet good enough this time. There's never anything. And even when he is overpowered, or somebody's bigger, I don't want to say overpowered because he was never overpowered on film.
Yeah.
But even when people were bigger than him, he's such a good athlete and understands the game and is so, like, instinctive that he knows how to get his body in positions and stop to not let that guy make the play or make the tackle. You know, so that's where I make him number three, because center's an important position in the NFL right now. There's a lot of good defensive tackles. Teams have a lot of teams that have small, fast defensive tackles where these big guards and centers can't match up with some of these guys. And he's going to be able to match up with those guys. The power guys, yeah, that'll be a question. But, man, there's nothing on there for me to question it. It's just the actual size and the numbers on paper.
Right.
There's nothing that visually says that's an issue.
I want to talk more about that. I have a pretty good comp for him, too, as well. There we see it right there. As you can see, 6'2 and 1'8", not very tall. He's less than 300 pounds. Wingspan was really bad compared to others.
Yeah.
Arm length as well, hand size. Like, none of it, just in terms of measurements, would say first-round pick, but everything else about him when you watch him play says first-round pick. Really interesting video with him, and I think we have this, Pete. He wrestled Tristan Wirfs in high school. I don't know if we have the video.
I think we do. I've seen it before. I believe we showed it at the combine, maybe.
So Tristan Wirfs went to Mount Vernon, which is about 5 minutes
right
down Highway 1 there from Solon, next time you're there. That's amazing. Let's see it again. Like, Tristan Wirfs, like, we've all seen him, and he's quite a bit bigger than Tyler, and he pinned him.
Tristan Wirfs has been beat at right tackle like twice in his NFL career so far.
Yeah.
So here we go. I know numbers, we all want to look at them. There's all stuff to glean from all of these numbers. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, first off, you know, like what we're showing the measurables to there, you know?
Yeah.
Is that measurables just the center or all offensive linemen in general?
Pete?
I think it's all offensive linemen in general. I'm going to be pretty sure, I think.
Okay.
Which, again, is just like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you want to compare him against a left tackle? It's a totally different skill set and means
nothing to it.
Right. Yeah.
This is all offensive linemen. Right. So that's a good point.
So that's what we got to take into account here. Context matters.
A lot.
And then sometimes we look at things and, listen, I know arm length is important.
Yeah.
31 and 1/8 is small. Okay. But then, you know, we got other guys in football where we go, well, it's 32 and a half and he's the best center in football.
Yeah.
You know, is it really going to make the biggest difference in the world that you just go, oh my gosh, you can't do this?
Right.
You know, I just think the toughness, the power, the ability to hit people and roll his hips through and push them back and stun them is pretty impressive. And then, you know, the center, not only the strength of the point of attack, but like we talk about, it's third down now, and now there's some athletic defensive end who's lined up over me or something like that. You know, the quickness, the twitchiness, to me that's almost just as important as anything at that position. And then they get to ask to do so much today in the NFL, whether it's the screen game and some of their pulling and all that, to where it's an important position, and he's pretty perfect as far as the film's concerned.
As long as we're on the Iowa theme, I think there's a comparison here that works very well. My junior year, my center was Mike Devlin. We don't play in the NFL for 7, 8, 9 years. So then the next season, we got to have one. There was this kid who was really smart and pretty athletic, but he was only about 260 pounds.
Right.
Casey Wigman. It's like, Casey's going to be pretty good. So he played 17 years in the NFL.
I played with him.
Played with
in
you.
Denver.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, Casey was never that big.
No.
I don't think he
was 285, 290 the year I played with him in 2009.
I don't think he ever weighed more than 290 pounds.
Yeah, I think it was probably 285 right there.
He had a Pro Bowl kind of career for a lot of years.
Yes.
And it was the same thing. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was much more athletic than people thought.
Much.
He could get out and cut an end. Casey, 285. I'm going to guess Casey was probably less than 285.
Yeah.
But the point is, I know it's easy because they went to the same school, but it sounds like you're describing the same player.
It's a very similar guy.
And has the game changed that much where someone who's 280 at center 20 years ago, who was really good, can they still be with that size?
Definitely. They definitely can. I mean, it takes it's a special, like Casey, a special guy that's got that kind of power and that's kind of a body. You know, but Jason Kelce's not far off from that either. I mean, I'm going to guess you – I bet you Kelce's 295, 292.
Yeah.
Probably not as much as whatever he's listed at. I bet you he's less than that, to your point there. No, but it's a position about – how quick and explosive you can get on them. This is where these guys make up. Casey Wigman would win battles because he could snap the ball and get on the guy in front of him before that guy could get off the ball and get the momentum to push him back, even though he was the bigger man. So he's already had his body on the guy as that guy was trying to go, and he's like, oh, I'm already on you. You stop your You're stopping there. So there is something to that, let alone, again, you know, that strong. Okay, he's to my right, and I got to make a reach block. Set hut, the quick explosion, get over there, the quickness just to get them in front of the guy. And more times than not, it's the most important thing there anyways.
Yeah.
And then he understands how to kind of stop him or slow him down in the track. So the guy's a first-round center. He has a chance to be really special, in my opinion. He's a fucking machine who never loses a battle. And does high-level NFL stuff consistently in every game. Because in Iowa, it's one of the few teams in college football that ask their O linemen to do NFL stuff.
Yeah.
And
you talk about getting out, stepping, getting out of the edge.
Right, all of it. Just like the real – they have real running plays. It's not just inside-outside zone. We only have two running plays. That's most of college football. That's Mississippi State. We only got these plays. You know, he's doing down blocks, double teams, kick out blocks, whatever. He's anything that's being asked to pull, double team, and then let's work to the second level and we'll communicate it as we're doing the double team to figure out who goes up there. You know, that's where he's got an advantage over a lot of these guys coming in the draft.
So we have six offensive linemen. You have six on your quote top five. I think we've had three. Yeah, three interior. We've had two guards and a center, only one tackle.
Yeah.
So we're moving into the top two.
The big top two.
And we are nothing but tackles from here on out.
Yeah, nothing but tackles here on out. It's the big two. We know who they are. I mean, the big two are Evan Neal and, Ikem Ekwonu, all right? And I am making Ikem Ekwonu my number two. All right, and then let me just say, this is not easy.
I was going to say, how difficult was that, parsing that
This
one
could
out?
Be a 1 or a 1A type of thing. This is a phenomenal football player. And I'm going to state right now that overall, Ikem Ekwonu's film was better than Evan Neal's. Okay? Huh. It was better overall.
So
you're going to have to wait till I get to Evan Neal to ask that question, why he's one.
You can see it in the word bubble above
my head. Yeah, I know. You want to ask, why is he? So overall film is phenomenal, okay? The guy could be a guard, but he's made for left tackle. I mean, so there's a little versatility there for sure. But, like, incredible athlete, incredible get-off, the power to move and dig and root people out, no doubt about it. You know, all the movement stuff is really, really special. I mean, to be 320, he carries it very easily. He doesn't even look 320 on the film when the way he moves and does everything. But I think between that, I mean, it's like elite explosiveness, elite change of direction ability. You know, the redirects, like we're talking about, going to the second level, the linebacker tries to juke him out. No, not so fast. Not around this guy. He's going to be there to knock you out. You know, blows people back on contact. You know, so that's, I mean, right away you see that and you just go, man, the guy's got it all. There's nothing in his game that he physically can't do, and most things he does at a very elite level.
In the ACC, did you have much film to look at where he was going at an ass kicker on the other side as well?
Yeah, it's not as much. Like, when they played Florida State, right? Florida State, they did a good job of not putting their best guy over him the whole game.
Yeah.
Right. So there was that. And that would be some of the negatives we talk about here with him. Again, this is a phenomenal football player, very worthy of being a top five pick for sure. All right. The true NFL pure pass protection plays are not many in the NC State offense. There's not a lot of times he's asked there to be like, hey, protect for 4 seconds. The quarterback's going to take a 7-step drop, and we're reading, the post to the deep corner to the crosser coming across. We want you to hold up. Almost everything is get it out quick, RPO. No. So it's like, holy shit, this is the 60th play of the game. He's only really pass protected 4 times the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap. It drives you crazy. So, but, you know, even within all that, you know, there's nothing there negatively other than there's some pass protection areas that need to be cleaned up. But again, we're being nitpicky. I'm holding to like top five of the draft type of conversation here.
I've seen sloppy feet can lead him to struggle.
A little bit.
You buy that?
Yeah, a little. I think sloppy feet sometimes in the pass game can kind of like, you know, make the initial contact and hit with you and then kind of lean on you and stop his feet, and then people might go around. So there's a little bit of that to where I would go. The weight gets over his toes a little sometimes on contact instead of kind of sitting in there and having that base underneath you, right? So it's that. But, like, again, it's not like you see it every game or all the time. It's just, okay, here it is. And it's fixable with the kind of athlete and power this guy has. It's still an incredible, you know, anchor. And the other thing I like, Paul, as the season goes along, I felt like some of that stuff got cleaned up.
Good.
Where he got better and better at it. You know, he stopped letting pass rushers get all their momentum and run into him at full speed. He started to learn to, like, wait, I got these long freaking arms. Let me throw it out there and stun you a little bit so you can't come into me at 100 miles per hour. So, awesome football player. Clearly expect them to be the top five. In fact, I really think Houston will take him at number three. I just feel like it's a Houston Nick Caserio pick.
Are you saying that because you think Evan Neal will be gone?
I think Evan Neal will probably go after him. Evan Neal will be my favorite. He will be Chris Sims' favorite left tackle, who, if I was a GM, I would take him one. But I think, yes, I know NFL and how it works and how some of these GM, you know, so clean the tape like we talk about and all that. There's some that are just going to fall in love with it, and then rightly so. The guy is really good, and I think it is debatable about who the number one pick is. I'm not certainly sitting here trying to say what I say goes in stone and you listen to me forever.
Just one opinion.
Yeah.
I want to read this opinion to you, and you can take it wherever you'd like to go. This is from NFL.com. It's like watching Greg Robinson all over again when he was coming out of Auburn. He's got that same rawness and protection and power in the running game. More thoughtful player. And more likely to get his issues fixed. That's from an area scout for an NFC team. What do you think?
I studied Greg Robinson hard coming out. I mean, I think this kid's film's cleaner than Greg Robinson. Greg Robinson was one of those where I felt like it was a little more like Charles Cross, where you went, whoa, I see all this talent and it's really good. But, man, there's some rawness and some crap we got to fix here. But the potential is amazing, right? And, yeah, of course, it didn't work out. I don't look at this guy being that raw. No. This is, to me, is like, we're talking minor adjustments here. The pass protection issues were not that of, like, you know, where I go, oh, man, that's really scary to me. I never was like that. I just, one of the only things I wrote that were negative, and I just, as I get into it, I don't want to give up some of my other stuff on my other guy here, you know, I just wrote, you know, anchor and punch are not as good as the top guy that we're going to talk about here in a minute. You know, and in that pass protection, he will lean and miss at times, like I talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, again, I think because of the footwork a little bit and all that. But it's minute.
Yeah.
It's minute. It's a really clean film, this guy.
I'm listening to you, and I think that was a really good intro to the player for those of us who didn't know him that well coming in. I feel like my follow-ups and the questions I have are kind of in relation to your number one guy,
Evan
Neal.
Let's do it.
So
let's just do it.
Let's just get to number one. Yeah.
Listen, because I want to tell you, when I watch these, all, and that's why I have a hard time when I read through my notes, because I compare through my notes.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give it off to you.
Right.
But I compare as I go. Yeah. I go, wait, this guy did this better than this guy. This guy did it worse than this guy. And I write those things down to kind of continue to keep my brain and, like, remembering of where I think certain areas this guy was great. And I compare them that way. That's how I do my evaluation.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's get it. You want to get to Evan Neal, the number one tackle in the draft?
Let's get to Evan Neal. Yeah. And we can kind of continue to roll in the comparisons here as
let's
you're talking about Evan.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. Evan Neal, one. All right, is a gigantic human being.
6'7", 350.
350. It's an easy 350. I saw him at the combine along with Icky. You know, they're both impressive bodies. But, yeah, this is a different guy. It's like the easiest 350 you've ever seen.
That's good.
It's easy. right? Mm. And it's not sloppy either. It's not like you turn on the film and go, oh, man, his belly's really jiggling,
right.
And I see his tricep there, and he's got 12 pounds of fat on his tricep. You know, it's not that at all. So the film itself is not as clean as Icky, right, like I talked about. You know, there's a few things here and there. And the run game, though, only in the run game. Yes, can he get faked out in space every now and then? Can he maybe take the wrong angle to the second level and not be the machine Icky was always at making that block? No doubt. Is he as good in the wide receiver screen and getting out and blocking a corner or a linebacker on the edge to, you know, get your receiver off as Icky? No, Icky's better at all those things, right? But this is the best pass-protecting left tackle I have ever seen. And since I've been doing this, I've never seen anybody
years,
as good as this.
So like six?
We're getting 10 years?
Wow. The best you've ever seen.
No, this is fucking wall. Nobody gets close with Evan Neal.
Then why would, and this is probably a couple of levels past. Yeah.
Because they're going to see other things in this film and they're going to go, well, it's not as good as Icky.
Mm.
It's not always as clean. This kid has a little of the issues Icky does in the way I talk about in the pass game and leaning.
Yeah.
This guy at times will be leaner in the run game.
You can live with that more in the passing game, right?
I'm going with the pass game.
Yeah.
That's just the way I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the guy that's the best passer. The guy that I saw play NFL defense ends every week.
Yeah.
And nobody ever get close, including the guy that a lot of people think is going to be the number one or two pick. Not even close to the quarterback.
Which one are you talking
about? Trayvon Walker from Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, they played him twice. It's a clinic. Now, they don't play Trayvon Walker the right way all the time, like you've heard me discuss, and they don't let him, like, really rush the passer. But either way, the guy has very good lateral quickness. Like, his feet aren't as good as Icky's, but they're a little less, all right? But his anchor is as good as I've seen. Nobody pushes him back. And then his punch with his arms is off the charts good. You want to talk about, like, when his hands get on you, it is over? It is over.
Mm.
And he is great at meeting the pass rusher. You know, getting out of his step, getting an initial punch, and the guy's like, oh, and it just ruins all their momentum. And you're like, well, it's over now. You're done. He's got you. It's done.
Yeah.
Let alone guys that try to get, like, every now and then you might go, ooh, they're going to get him around the edge. And you know what happens? He's so fucking big and long that he still gets an arm or something on it and pushes the guy 5 yards upfield, and he doesn't even get close to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's where, like, Orlando Brown and some of those guys do. That's where it's a little different, let alone the Cam Jordans of the world and them can't power rush them either. So, again, the film not the same, but the pass protection's off the charts good. And then the running game concerns I have, they're not that big. You see him do all the things I said that I wish he was a little – you see him do them at a high level plenty of times.
Yeah.
It's just not every time. You know, so it's not, again, like, I don't know if he can do this. It's just like, oh, he's got to get a little better at this. He's got to clean this up.
Yeah.
But you talk about then, if you want to give me the guy, I think if you give me the guy where I go, it's 3rd and 1, we got to have it to win the Super Bowl right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to run behind somebody. I'm going behind Evan Neal.
Yeah.
I am over Icky. As much as I think Icky gets off the ball too. Evan Neal has moments of absolutely fucking mauling people in front of him. Like, they have no chance. It's like you and me lined up over him, and we're going on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And he just raw, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is 300-pound lineman here. He just pushed 7 yards down the field. I think he's special and an amazing pass protector.
Let's say I am the GM of the Texans, okay, and you know that I want to take the NC State kid.
Mm.
You're the O-line coach for the Texans. You've spent months watching these two, and you just have conviction. Like you said, that even though you like them both a lot, Evan Neal is the guy you want. Run game and pass game.
Yeah.
You got 30 seconds with the GM before he meets with the head coach to tell him why he should take Evan Neal.
Yeah.
I know you have 10 minutes to say about it.
Yeah.
What's your headline about, Mr. GM, we got to take this guy?
We'll have zero issues in pass protection with this guy. Everything we got to worry about with this guy is just we got to learn just a few little steps and techniques and things just to get to the second level or adjust to somebody making a move on me in space. And I would go, but man, you know, it's a passing league. There's a lot of great pass rushers ruining games for the other team right now.
Yeah.
And you don't ever have to worry about this with this guy at tackle.
There you go.
That's where, I mean, that to me.
You walk out the door with that.
I went back and forth here But I just, as I went back and forth more and more as time went on, I just go, I even though the other guy's maybe better in more areas than the other guy, the area that's most important to me is that pass protecting area. And Evan Neal to me is elite. In that department.
You summed that up really well. I mean, if you're going to rate five areas, maybe your second guy is higher in all five, but the one he's better at, that is the skill.
It's the skill
that you have to have.
No question. And then with all like the different types of pass rushers, you know, again, you get 1 week it's Joey Bosa. The next week it's, whoa, it's DeForest Buckner. Yeah. It's a different human here. You know, then it's Khalil Mack. And you're like, whoa, well, I mean, it's just, it's all over the place. And to me, Neal, the foot quickness, let alone with the anchor and the ability to punch and the arms and all that, was, like I said, I thought it was off the charts good for a college left tackle.
Doesn't sound like you're describing somebody who would be a problem in the run game.
No, it's not. Exactly right. He's not going to be a problem in the run game.
As long as he's decent.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's better
or maybe
than,
even better.
It is.
Yeah.
It's better than defense. You know, again, that's where when we're picking these two guys apart here, I'm talking like it's better than everybody else.
Yeah.
We're just comparing them against each other, which they're in a league of their own. You know, but yeah, the negatives, like I talked about, can lean on people in the run game. He can fall off. You know, I would say he was on the ground maybe a time or two more than I would like. He's too talented to be on the ground. But I think, again, that goes into the leaning thing, right? But the toughness is real. Anything straight ahead is off the charts good. Mm. It's phenomenal that way. And like I said, it's just the change of direction, redirection stuff in the run game, not in the pass game. You know, the pass game, he's a machine. And so that is also what leads you to believe, like, hey, this guy can get to the second level and do those things we're talking about. I see him mirror pass rushers better than anybody else in the NFL draft here.
Yeah.
So he can do that. But the power is real, run and pass. And I said, even at the end, I said, in all I've said, even about the change of direction and redirect, it's still really good. And I've yet to see a bad pass pro. He is an incredible anchor, an incredible punch, and he attacks pass rushers. You know, let me just see. You know, fix one or two things in the run game. I think you got it all.
Yeah.
Gets his hands on you, it's over.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is to me the best tackle in the draft.
You want to have some fun watching a big guy do a great box jump?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have. I had some fun with him already.
You've already done?
I did. I had fun with him specifically. I got the. Now, so first off, does this look like a guy that's 350 to you?
And
look at that body.
Box jump, split squat.
A box jump,
sticks
split
it.
Squat. And he's 350. At 6'7", everyone. Now, that's what I mean. It's the easiest 350 you've ever seen. When I saw him in person, I just went, I can't believe this is a guy that's 350 pounds.
Five times more impressive than a 320-pound offensive lineman running a 4.940. Right there.
Well, it's
that's a better sign of like athleticism and explosion.
That's where their game is. Exactly right. Exactly. That's some of these things have just been made too much or too important.
Right.
In the scouting world, it's just too nitpicky over stuff where you go, I don't know what. Who cares about the last 35 yards of that guy's race? I don't care.
Thinking about the scouting world, this time of year, we used to always do this. I would see people and hear the conversations about Alabama running backs. Well, let's compare the other Alabama running backs the last 10 years. So let's do this a little bit here with the Alabama offensive lineman. Do you think he's being overrated at all? And I think I know the answer. We're looking at past Alabama O tackles taken. Alex Leatherwood last year, 17, to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
Wills the year before. Williams the year before. Ryan Kelly at center.
Yeah.
Chance Warmack, DJ Fluker. So what do you make of this Alabama lineage there on the offensive line in the first round?
Not all of them have lived up to, I guess, expectations. Some of them have.
Should that be any part of his evaluation?
No, I get it. Well, you know, listen. I understand the question and where we are here. Alabama, a lot of times maybe they get a little overrated or whatever because you just go, well, we know they're coached the right way. You know, they're doing NFL-type stuff. You know, to where, do I think a guy like Alex Leatherwood probably last year got a little overdrafted? I do, yeah. We'll see where it goes. And I think eventually he's going to be a guard all the time, I think. Mm. But, like, you can't let that stuff affect you. Right? Because if we went on look at what happened here. Alabama sent out D. Milner. We shouldn't draft any more Alabama corners. Oh, yeah? Tell me about Patrick Surtain or Marlon Humphrey or Dre Kirkpatrick or Landon Collins.
Right.
Where do you want me to end the fucking conversation?
Right.
After what Pro Bowler? So don't let like one or two, that list is good. Yeah. Wills hasn't maybe been as good as we want, but it's still been good. I don't think this guy's being overrated. You know what I think.
Yeah, no, it sounds like your evaluation of him.
I'm a lover of him.
I mean, the last 10 years, you haven't seen a left tackle better. I mean, it doesn't matter what his helmet is, what his uniform is in college. You're not going to say that unless you really, really think it. Like, it's not going to get escalated just because he went to school.
No, exactly right. That's exactly
the way to put it. You're not
going to
make that comment just because he went to Alabama.
Just because he went to Alabama.
You might push a third-round pick into the second round. But you're not going to make you're
not
going to
say
gonna speak
best
that well to somebody.
That, yes, exactly right. Yeah, that's I think the best way to defend myself. You're right. I think I'm going to use that for now on.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. But yeah, he's it's a hell of a football player, and so is Icky. You know, again, my big thing is I'm putting him a tackle, and Evan Neal, fourth quarter, first quarter, doesn't matter what the team, what the scheme is. I don't worry about him pass protecting against anybody in the sport. I don't. Icky, on the other hand, like I told you, I have a little worry about the big power pass rushers with him. And that, to me, was the difference. I don't worry about the speed guys.
Yeah.
Icky's going to be fine with the speed guys. It's the real 280, you know, defense end, the Cameron Jordans of the world like I'm talking about. That's the guy, or, you know, again, Nick Bosa, it's 260, but he has the power, and he goes speed to power on you.
Yeah.
That's the guy I worry about a little bit with Icky.
Let's take a look at your top six here, as now we've been through all the way through the number one, Evan Neal, the offensive tackle from Alabama. And to me, I look at this group, and I can think about one little thing or a couple little things you said about each one, but what I remember most from this last hour is you think all six of these guys – belong in the first round.
No question. Yeah. I think all six belong in the first round. Wouldn't be shocked if we saw all six of these guys off the board by 25, really. I really wouldn't. And, you know, that's six guys. And really, you know, again, I think if we're going to be fair, you know, there's two more guys to me that you could probably – that are in the first round conversation. And I expect – at least one of them, maybe both of them, to go in the first round. I do. And that's where I come off going, I think there'll be eight linemen drafted in the first.
We're going to get to the honorable mentions. Yeah. Let's visit a little subject here from our friends at PointsBet. First offensive lineman drafted odds. And I would imagine that Evan Neal is...
I think Icky's going to be the leader.
You think Icky's up there
first? Icky's the household leader name right now.
Okay.
You know, that to me. And again, I understand it, like we talked about.
You're right.
Yeah. It's
barely.
It's barely. But it's like we talked about. I feel like, you know, more GMs than not are going to like his tape because, like we said, it's cleaner in all areas.
So he's at negative 150 to be the first offensive lineman drafted. Evan Neal, plus 140. Big, big drop off down to plus 700 for the next one. That's Charles Cross.
Yeah. If you made me read between the tea leaves or connect dots or whatever else, I think it will go Aiden Hutchinson, one. Walker, two, from Georgia. And like I said, I think number three, the Texans, I just feel like it's going to be Icky.
Mm.
I do. I look at that and go, wait, they got Tunzel at left tackle. They got Marcus Cannon at right tackle, who's going into year 11 or 12. You know, they got two guards in Titus Howard and Sharping, who are solid, but nothing special. To where I just go, you bring Icky. And you can do whatever you want. You can go, hey, you go right tackle for this year, and we'll move Marcus Cannon into a guard position, which he has done in New England too.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just go, no, Icky, you could be an amazing guard. We're going to keep Marcus Cannon a tackle, Tunzel the other tackle, and you'll play one of the guards, and we'll figure out the other two spots.
Yeah.
That I don't know. To me, that's where I just feel like this is going. But I don't know that.
Even if Aiden Hutchinson goes one overall, Neal, Ikwunu, worthy of being the first overall pick?
They are. They are worthy. Yeah. I wouldn't be mad if either one of them went first. I wouldn't sit there and go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe they went one. That's so stupid. I definitely would not.
Either one of them.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. So, then the Texans cut Marcus Cannon. So there you go. So makes me believe it even more.
Yeah.
I forgot they cut him.
Yeah.
So I was already thinking that before him. That's where I need to look up those little details. I just go off the top of my head too much.
We're making our way to the honorable mention, who you also think potential first-round picks. But first, a reminder to download the PointsBet app. Use code NBC2K to sign up.
That's right.
Get two risk-free bets for up to $2,000.
If you're in an eligible state, PointsBet has an exclusive sign-up offer for Unbutton listeners that you can't miss. Download the PointsBet app. Do it now. Do it. All right? Use code NBC2K to sign up and get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. So if you bet $50 and lose, guess what? You will get free bets worth $50 once the game starts. Don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Do it.
You threw in that whole do it routine in the middle and at the end for free.
Thanks. Yeah, for free. That's just what I do. That's what I do. Put it on my tab, okay? Put it on my tab.
A Jersey read, Pete
Jersey
says.
Jersey read, yep. That's right.
Is Pete a Jersey?
Pete, yeah, he's from East Jersey. It's called Queens.
East Jersey. Queens.
Right. It's a little level below Jersey, Long Island, so it's East Jersey.
Below, like on the map, or below some other
below,
way?
Below all angles. Everything you just can think below, of, Long period. Island's below New Jersey. All
okay.
Right?
Pete had no rebuttal.
I know. That's great. That's great. It's glad he doesn't have a mic either. He can't. Nobody can hear what he says anyways. I do want to get into our honorable mentions here.
Yes. Back to the great state of Iowa.
Back to the Trevor Penning, Northern Iowa, certainly. Big body, right? Now, big body, got all the long arms, pretty good athlete, right? As everything you want, you know, as far as being a left tackle or a tackle in the NFL. He's not dominant, okay? That's the one thing I would say, especially for his level of competition. There's just a little too much to me where I want to go, kind of just gets it done. But, you know, again, you don't get to see against a lot of high-level defense ends. He's kind of in a class of his own that way. And, you know, to me, that's why I would probably put the other guy, Bernard Raimann, in front of him, because there was a little bit more of a better competition aspect, and I thought a little bit more of a physical dominant play as compared to Penning. But to me, both guys are first-round tackles.
Wow.
I do. I would think somewhere between 20 and 32, you see, you know, see these guys go. But, yeah, very good football players.
And one more here.
And then I want to give the guy that's not going to be a first-round pick, but just one of my favorite watches, and a guy that I think has got a lot of potential, is the Tyler Smith from Tulsa.
Would you like so much?
Well, he's probably the most physical lineman in the whole draft. I mean, it's killer, mauler.
It's a great compliment.
And he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
But
there must be a big butt here.
Well, the butt is just – it's raw.
Yeah.
I mean – nobody's taught him how to do anything in pass pro. He's just doing it with his God-given ability. It's like they just said, like, here's a basketball, go play one-on-one against it. He's out there like, oh, let me just move my feet this way and that way, and I'll just block you. I don't know how I did it, but I did. Yeah. And then he pulls the next play, and he's at left tackle. And, you know, he pulls one play, and he leads with the right foot. You go, oh, that's good. And then I watch the next play, and he does like a karaoke out of it and then pulls. And you're like, what? So there's some rawness there. He has not been coached at all. But when you talk about power, strength, you know, knocking people off the ball, attitude, he can be a left tackle in the NFL. I think he'd be a guard, like, right away.
Yeah.
Right. And karaoke is like, you know, when people twist their feet.
We used to have to do it all the time.
Yeah, for
like
warm-up in a football. Yeah. Right, right.
When was the last time that you were going to do a workout that you did karaoke on
every
your own?
Every one.
For real? Like now?
Every workout.
You do it.
I do it. I am like the nerd at the gym that does fast feet, and then I do butt kicks, and then I do straight leg bounds, and then I do side shuffles, and then I do backwards run.
It's like in your basement, in your driveway, and
no matter where. If I'm going to work out, I'm going through that warm-up.
So, like, if I'm the Chris Sims neighbor and I'm driving to the grocery store, I might look in the driveway and see Chris doing karaoke.
Definitely. 100%.
It's phenomenal.
100%. Yeah. I did it Saturday at my workout before the gym. Did it all. That's right. I got to do it now, too. Now I'm at the age where I'm like, if I don't warm up, I have a bacchiotomy. And I'm like, I don't feel right.
Your right back and your left back.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to connect the dots. All right, read the tea leaves.
Okay.
Connect the tea leaves if you'd like.
I like to.
You can read the dots.
Sure.
So Pete has included one question here before we go away.
Yeah.
Who's Pete's favorite team? Who do you think this might be about?
The G-Men.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
The team that gave you the 400 question?
Yeah, those assholes.
True or false? Yeah. Multiple choice. Okay, Giants. Graham Joyce, would it make sense for the Giants to bookend their line by taking two tackles at 5 and 7? Or should they use one of those picks on a pass rusher?
I would like one of them on a pass rusher.
Okay.
I would. I would love for us to take...
Doesn't sound like either one of those two offensive tackles are going to be there at 5.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean...
You wouldn't be surprised if they were gone.
I wouldn't, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head. No, I would think you're going to have one of them at five. I don't think the Jets are going to be in the business of tackle at four.
Okay.
I don't think so. You know, they took Elijah Vera Tucker last year. They got Mekhi Becton from the year before that. How many resources are we going to spend on the offensive line? They have other things. The Texans at three, if they go one, the other one should be left over. I want the Giants to take it.
Okay.
All right? Yes, and I am rooting for the Giants to get Evan Neal.
Pete says, what if somebody wants to trade ahead of the Panthers to five? Is that what he said?
All right, well, then that's going to be – I wouldn't, especially if Evan Neal or Icky are there.
You wouldn't trade it?
I would not, no. To me, again, this is we classify under these two guys stand above the rest. There's a separation. So you better get some great package to go down and get one of these other tackles that is going to be riskier.
Yeah.
And I want to go Giants. We just took a tackle at four, and it hasn't been great so far. It's finally going in the right direction. But, no, I don't think we should bookend it either. I should have tackle at five. We'll have Andrew Thomas in one tackle. We'll have whoever we get at pick number five at the other tackle. And then we'll fill in the rest from there. You know, and then I want us to get a pass rusher, the Giants. I do.
Us.
Yeah. I'm a G-Man fan. Yes, I want to. I want one of these damn pass rushers. You know, whether it's the Florida State kid. Maybe this is a place maybe they trade down. Seven?
You would do it there.
I could see that. Maybe Wink Martindale might go, you know what? I don't want the kid from Florida State. I don't need that, speed pass rusher off the edge. I'm Baltimore defense, right? Mm. I'm more this Darius Thomas, Matt Judon type. I like Karlaftis from Purdue.
Yeah.
Move us down a few spots. I'll take him. If that's then fine. But, yes, I would love to see pass protector and pass rusher on the Giants draft.
I've had a great 1-2 football less than 24 hours. USFL last night.
Woo!
Little offensive lineman talk with Chris.
Damn, you have. And you look good, and you're like, oh, I don't even look tired. Damn, they must have to put you to work more. Maybe
there's a locker
more.
Room right down the hall. Did you know that?
No.
You can come in from the airport and freshen up.
Is that what you did today?
Yeah.
Wow. You didn't go home yet?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
No.
I do.
This is a good day.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
All
really.
Right, good. Good. I'm glad
wasn't
you're
kidding
happy.
Around. Yeah.
All right, good. Good to hear that.
Watch the USFL next week. we're on Friday night.
I watched a little. Watched a little this week. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll start continuing to die. It's hard. It was hard on a holiday weekend.
I know.
Especially yesterday.
Yeah. Easter weekend is.
I'm outside hiding eggs for the kids. I'm having baseball catches.
Right.
There's kids yelling and screaming everywhere.
Yeah.
There's NBA playoffs on. I mean, it was just a lot of shit going on.
I hear you.
Yeah. But I saw enough. I got a feel.
Yeah. That's so, fun.
All right. Hang in there, Slugger.
Thank you.
All right. You only got a few more weeks left of me. Actually, no, you got a lot more than that.
We do this. What are we on? We're in mid-April?
Mid-April.
We'll do it through
June.
June 1?
Yeah, we'll do June. Yeah. And then we got one story here. All right.
Timeless sports. Dion. Who's Dion? Oh, my gosh. Dion with Andrew Kramer. 1989. The Giants told him to do a written test, and he asked them what pick they had.
Yes.
10th pick,
Woo!
Dion. I'll be gone before then.
Damn,
how did
the Giants get the 10th pick that year? The Giants in 89. How did they get 89. The 10th pick? 88, the Giants lost the last game of the year to miss the playoffs. If they won, they got home field advantage. If they lost, they didn't make the playoffs. How crazy is
That's
that?
That's good Giant
right?
recall.
So they lost to the Jets, actually. But 89, so that would have been so awesome if Deion Sanders was on the Giants when I was there as a little kid.
Bottom line, though, Deion also did not like the Giants test.
Well, of course not. Who the fuck would? Anybody with brains doesn't like it. Anybody with a life would not like the Giants test. I mean, Lawrence Taylor definitely didn't take that test. I know that. Phil Sims did either.
I was so happy to be at the Combine. If it was 800 questions, I would have done all 800.
He would have done, yeah.
Is there more? Is there an extra credit portion?
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I need to go back in time. But, yeah, Deion was going to do that. I love Deion's pre-draft stories. They're amazing. Can you imagine Deion Sanders on the same defense as Lawrence Taylor? That would be unreal. That locker room would be unreal. I would wish that would have happened. But Deion, between that story right there, which I've heard before, and then, of course, the 40 time where he just shows up, lines up, runs the 40, puts his mink coat on, and leaves again. I mean, that's just...
I haven't heard the mink coat
that's just
portion
baller.
Of it.
Yeah.
It was like a 4... I heard 419.
418, 419, yeah. Right.
416.
Yeah, yeah, insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fastest human ever.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Be good. We got Thursday, all right? Thursday, these nice people here at NBC are giving me a little bit of an extra day.
Oh, you get right? a little cushion.
Little cushion here.
To do what?
To finish off the D tackles and the linebackers. I'm pretty much done with the D tackles.
Yeah.
All right. Just started on the linebackers. So feeling good. But Thursday we'll be doing that. Ahmed will be here. This will be our final positional draft rankings of the 2022 draft season. Check it out. Subscribe, rate, review. You know where to find us. We're here at NBC Sports, okay? Paulie, you the man.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
You should do some karaoke before the linebackers.
I will. Okay, I'll do it. I'll get warmed up. I'll get ready to go. I'll show you guys what it's all about next time. Peace out. Everybody be good. Talk to you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.